This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckabee. South Koreans in the streets today by the thousands, hoping that the ouster of President Park Geun-hye represents the conclusion of a long and tragically operatic scandal and dreary chapter in South Korean history. The Constitutional Court removed Park, who was accused of abuse of power, conspiring with a personal friend to extort money from Samsung and other South Korean corporate giants. Matt Stiles, special correspondent for the LA Times in Seoul, says it will still take months before the future looks clear.
It's been slow moving and started from a very small revelation into what's now 30 indictments and two of the most powerful people in the country, you know, being potentially charged with criminal activity. And where we're at now is that, you know, the president has been removed from office. The prime minister, who generally has a ceremonial role, is acting as head of state. And we will have a snap election within the next 60 days, sometime in early May, to pick the next president of South Korea.
Do you think the technocrats and this generation of corporate-oriented politicians is on the way out? There's a huge youth vote in South Korea and also a profound youth culture in South Korea. Is this a passing of the torch?
It could signal that. I mean, there are a couple things going on here. The youth and the sort of disaffected in society came out early in these protests. But we saw people of all ages and generally across the political spectrum from all over the country in these massive peaceful rallies calling for the president's ouster. I think what the biggest change we could see right away is that there could be a backlash against the ruling Conservative Party, which has basically been in power for a decade. And you could see a more liberal president elected, and that person might be more open to dialogue with North Korea, might take a little bit different stance with Japan and China. So it's not just an internal issue. What's happening in South Korea right now can also have an effect on the regional, you know, geopolitics and also our relationship with the region. It's an interesting time for South Korea, not unlike the United States, where you're seeing a lot of different cultural forces that are affecting the politics.
And so will that push the U.S.-South Korea relationship in some way? Will that change the DMZ? Will it, you know, signal something fundamentally different in the region?
If there is a more liberal president, for example, that's elected, and that person has somewhat of a mandate, say that there is quite a backlash from this scandal towards the Conservative Party, which came out today and apologized to the nation, you could see things such as THAAD, the anti-missile defense system that's being installed right now. It's intended to prevent North Korea from striking the peninsula with its short-range, mid-range missiles. That's angered China, and it's caused a diplomatic tension among the countries that's hurting South Korea economically. That's something that you could really see change. You could see the country's posture under a liberal president when it comes to trade disagreements with the Trump administration or some future president taking on a different tone. But fundamentally, I believe that the alliance between the United States and South Korea is pretty strong, and there are interests that are ingrained that will probably stay relatively stable. But it is an interesting time to see whether the political change that we're seeing at the top right now can actually trickle down to the population in the short term or medium term.
Matt Stiles is a special correspondent for the LA Times in Seoul. Matt, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.